The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
This is a presentation of Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
To another episode of Q Who, the quintessential Whovian. This is a podcast where I, your humble host, Jonathan Patrick Russell, or just John, talk to you about classic Doctor Who and anything that might be going on. Sometimes I review things that have been released, like the season 15 box set that was released recently. I actually these episodes are coming to you out of order right now, because actually a couple weeks ago I did record my review of season 15, but I just haven't had time to actually sit down and pull the edit together on that. It does need a little tightening up, and I just haven't had a chance to finish that. But I have something that's a little more pressing that I need to talk about, and I thought I would. So you're going to get this before you get the review that I already recorded. So these episodes, like I said, are going to be slightly out of order, and I think that's probably going to be all right. So, yeah, there are some interesting things going on in Doctor Who fandom lately. Some of you may have heard a few things here and there, but it concerns the usage of AI to recreate or reconstruct, or whatever you know, whatever term you want to use, the missing episodes of Doctor Who. Of course, we know the BBC for a number of years now have been trying to do this with animation, and with some success and some failures along the way. I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but I don't necessarily hear good things about the upcoming release of the Celestial Toymaker, because they've gone a different direction with the animation. They've gone more computer graphics with it. Sort of in, I guess, Disney style, current Disney style, I should say. And some people are not happy about that. And it's using, I think, if I understand correctly, the same process that they did episode 3 of The Web of Fear, which, of course, was a great failure. And nobody liked it. I have to say that was the weakest one of all the animations. I find it hard to watch. There is a fan-made animation that's out on YouTube that I tend to go to when I'm watching The Web of Fear rather than the official BBC one, which, like I said, is just it's just hard to watch. It just does not match up with, you know, with the live visuals, the live-action visuals. So, I haven't seen the Celestial Toymaker. I will look at it myself and review it here on Q Who when it does come out, just for you guys, just so I can let you guys know how good or bad it is. but we're not here to talk about that. There, you know, some of the animations have been really good. I mean, we had wonderful ones early on. The Invasion was really good. And then we had The Reign of Terror, The Tenth Planet, and The Moon Base. And those were brilliant. Those were fantastic. I loved every one of those. The Ice Warriors came out, and that was pretty good. I rather liked that one. And then, you know, we've had others like Power of the Daleks and The Macra Terror, The Faceless Ones, The Evil of the Daleks, The Abominable Snowman, and Fury from the Deep, and of course, Galaxy 4 as well, after all of that. Some people liked Galaxy 4 and some people didn't. Some people thought that they took too much license with that one, which it didn't necessarily bother me with that one. I didn't really have a problem with that one. Yes, they probably took some things too far, but, you know, it's the same way with the Abominable Snowman. I think overall it was pretty good, but they just took too much license with Padma Amidala. For some odd reason, they decided to completely change his character, and then they of course they changed the look of the other characters to make them look more, I guess, Asian, Tibetan, whatever. So those are that kind of license. There's, on one hand, I see where they're coming from, but on the other, it's not true to what was on screen originally, and I think it should be true to what's on screen originally. Especially with Padma Sambhava, however you say his name, I think they went too far with that. They made him some grotesque, monsterish creature instead of, you know, a really old man, like he should have looked. So that I didn't care for. Fury from the Deep certainly was not perfect. You know, they had some issues with long arms and things like that. I don't think the Fury from the Deep animation really captures that story's vibe, atmosphere. That story is a fairly dark story, and the animation just didn't quite pull it off, I'm afraid. So, and that was going to be a tricky one no matter what. There's some of these stories are going to be tricky to do in animation. Well, the good news is we do have some AI reconstructions that are happening. And the man behind it all is a man called Ian Levine. And I'm sure most of you know who I'm talking about. For those of you who don't, Ian Levine is the person that basically saved 60s Doctor Who. He rescued a lot of missing episodes back in the day. Around the mid-70s, I believe it was, mid to late 70s, he actually was trying to purchase some episodes from the BBC and discovered that the BBC were junking 60s Doctor Who. And he actually managed to save what was left, and in particular, the Daleks, which was getting ready to be destroyed. He kept that from happening, the very first Dalek story featuring William Hartnell. So we have so much to thank Ian Levine for, and that and recovering episodes over the years, and just making sure that we didn't lose more than we did already. You know, there are 97 episodes still missing, but thanks to him, there are only 97 episodes still missing. Much of what we have, Ian either rescued and stopped being destroyed, or he brought them back for us, locating prints here and there. Sandemo's Ian a lot. And I don't even think they I think a lot of fandom doesn't even realize what and how much we do owe that man, because if it weren't for Ian Levine, if there was no Ian Levine, we probably wouldn't have much of the of 60s Doctor Who left, because I think they would have destroyed most of it, if not all. So we wouldn't have much. We might have a snippet here and there, but we wouldn't have, you know, the amount of material that we have, and there will certainly be considerably more than 97 episodes that aren't in the archive. So I'm forever grateful to Ian Levine, and luckily I've through Facebook I've been able to sort of get to know the man and be in contact with him and have some small part in his efforts to now reconstruct the missing episodes that we still have missing, the episodes we still have missing, because he is, he's got a team, or more than one team, I suppose it is, of creatives who are using AI to recreate those lost episodes based on telesnaps and photos and things like that. So he's been working on a few projects, and still is. To name but a few, he's working on Marco Polo, which is my personal favorite story. He's working on the Daleks Master Plan, which is another great favorite of mine, and I believe his all-time favorite story. And he's working on the Massacre. He's working on the Smugglers and the Savages, and one or two others along the way. I can't name them all because I don't know every I don't know every single one that they're working on. But I've seen clips of a number of them, and they look brilliant. Some people are weary of AI. And some people are terrified of AI. And it's kind of a funny thing, because I think people have an idea of what AI is, and I don't think the popular idea of what AI is not quite what it is. People have this science fiction idea of AI, and I've interacted with a number of people on Facebook and so forth, other socials, who seem to be terrified of AI and they think that it's going to destroy the human race or, you know, destroy the planet. We are not at that stage. AI is not at that stage of development. I think that most people have this idea of AI that comes from science fiction, that comes from Doctor Who. We had the War Machines and Votan, and we had the Green Death and the Boss, these computers that became sentient or whatever and tried to take over the world. And then we've had it in Star Trek, and we've had it in The Outer Limits and The Twilight Zone. You know, this concept has been around for a long time, artificial intelligence, and artificial intelligence basically trying to take over. And, you know, we've had it in films and we've had it in TV shows. And, you know, I think a lot of people who, when they hear AI, they think of, you know, the Terminator, and they think of Lieutenant Commander Data. They think of, you know, Votan. And that's what they think AI is. These computer programs that can think for themselves and, you know, they want to destroy the human race. And, you know, and my argument is, well, you know, if you put AI in charge of the nuclear arsenal on the planet, yeah, that probably wouldn't be a good idea. But AI isn't sentient. I personally, and I'm not going to say that I'm any kind of expert, but I've never heard of any AI program that has, you know, become self-aware and sentient. I don't think that's happened yet, and I don't think that's going to happen for a very long time. So I don't think we have anything to worry about right now in the immediate future. I think that's decades, if not centuries, away before we get to, say, a Lieutenant Commander Data. That level of self-awareness in a computer or robot or, you know, or a program. I have interacted with some chatbots, and it's interesting because they try to emulate human emotions and human thoughts, but there's always just, you know, it always just goes so far. There's always a limitation. And people, again, have that idea that AI is something that, you know, it's self-aware, and it's going to learn more than we know, and it's going to dominate the human race, and that we're this, you know, like this close to that happening. And I don't think we're as close as a lot of people think to that kind of technology. I don't think AI is a tool, and it's not as simple as putting a few lines into a computer and then this AI program or whatever just can suddenly turn out Shakespeare. You know, that it doesn't work like that. And in the case of Doctor Who, and recreating the missing episodes, it has to have a human hand behind it. It has to have a human mind behind it to tweak it and make it work, make it work right. What you see in these AI reconstructions is a lot of effort by people who know what they're doing, the computer programmers and animators. It's certainly not as simple as, putting a Doctor Who script into a computer and it goes, oh, well, I'll recreate this exactly as it was seen in 1960, whatever. It just doesn't work that way. So there's a lot of work going into this. There's a lot of work behind this. Ian's team is pretty darn talented, and they have been turning out some really good stuff. The Daleks Master Plan that they've done, they did episode 1, 3, 4, 6, and as I'm recording this, they're getting ready to release episode 7, The Feast of Stephen. And the ones that I've seen, all of those through episode 6 of Dalek's Master Plan, and they've gotten better and better. It looks really incredible. It's certainly not perfect, and it's probably never going to be 100% perfect, but it is as close an approximation to what fans saw originally back in 1965, I think, is when that story went out. So, yeah, you are looking at something that is, with the help, the manipulation of the programmers behind it, the animators behind it, the amazing team behind it, are making it look almost like what you would have seen on screen if you'd have been there to see it. Ian was there to see it, and he's working behind the scenes on this stuff and making sure that they're getting it as close to accurately recreating these episodes as they possibly can. And he's being, very, very strict with making sure that it looks right. And if Ian thinks it looks right, I trust his judgment. The man knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what these shows should look like. He saw them when they originally aired. He took notes. He described every visual item that he saw, and recorded the dialogue. So he knows what he's doing, and honestly, he and his team are doing an amazing job. And it's something that even the BBC haven't even twigged on it yet. They haven't even twigged that this is the way to go as far as recreating these missing episodes. And in fact, they've kind of, I think they're kind of balking against it at this point. Maybe they too are afraid of AI. I don't know. It's kind of an odd thing. And for whatever reason, they're not big fans of Ian Levine. The thing with Ian is a passionate person. Ian is a very intelligent person. Ian doesn't suffer fools lightly, and he very much speaks his mind. And of course, someone who speaks their mind and doesn't filter, to try and make everybody happy with what he says, tends to ruffle certain feathers. But I think Ian is often misunderstood by various fans and others, and the BBC. For the BBC, I think he's a thorn in their side just because he's a stickler for getting things right. He was an advisor on the show, my understanding, from the late 70s through much of the 80s. An uncredited advisor. So a lot of, what we saw on the screen back then was down to Ian making sure that, they got their facts right. If they did something that you know, referred to the past. He was on hand to say, you know, it's got to be this way or it's got to be that way because this doesn't work and that doesn't work. Not that he had, you know, carte blanche on what, you know, how the show was created, because you had J&T, John Nathan Turner, who was a big personality who had his own ideas about Doctor Who. I'm sure that was a difficult situation. But Ian knows his stuff. Ian knows his stuff. He knows his Doctor Who. I would say he's the ultimate super fan. He knows more about Doctor Who than any of us ever will. And, you know, God bless him. He's a miracle to me. He deserves praise because he has studied Doctor Who. He has lived and breathed it in many ways. And he's made all these notes over the years. He's worked so hard on the series and on its behalf, and he's done everything he can to preserve the past, and in particular, those missing episodes, that period of the 1960s. The BBC didn't care about black and white Doctor Who in the 60s. After the 60s was over with and they switched to color, they didn't think that, you know, there was any viability to Doctor Who from the 60s. The black and white episodes, nobody would be interested in that. So why shouldn't we junk them? Why shouldn't we destroy them? Because nobody's ever going to be interested in seeing this stuff anymore. It's worthless. Well, boy, how short-sighted was that? Honestly, I love the 60s. That's my era of Doctor Who, particularly William Hartnell's stint as the first Doctor. He is my Doctor. And I love the storytelling in the Hartnell era and also in the Troughton era. The 60s was a special time for Doctor Who, and I think that's the golden age, and I think that's as good as it gets. You know, as good as the 70s was and some of the 80s, I think the 60s just, you know, it not only built the show, that's, you know, that's not only where the show was created and the foundation was laid, it excels in every department. Visually, it looks great. You know, yes, of course, special effects were, you know, are dated from back, I mean, from 60 years ago, but it was state of the art at the time. And the budgets weren't huge, and they had to concentrate on the storytelling. And the storytelling was king. And those stories, you know, were amazing. You know, yes, with any TV series, there are going to be episodes along the way that are weaker than others. But, you know, for the most part, the 60s is, you know, as close to perfection as we're ever going to see in Doctor Who. I think that was amazing. Again, the imagination behind it, the story brought you into it. You know, you just got lost in the narrative. And even if the effects were a little wonky at times, for the most part, you know, again, it was state of the art at the time. You can look past, you know, the wrinkles and really get engrossed in the story. I don't feel that way with modern Who, new Who, whatever you want to call it, especially here in 2024. You know, I'm not going to knock it completely. I'm not going to say I hate new Who, by no means. There are certain aspects and storylines that they've come out with in the new series that I don't care for, because it doesn't really gel with the lore that they created back in the classic series. But that's neither here nor there. It's just I don't get as drawn into the story in the modern stuff compared to the classics, especially the 60s. That can draw me in, and I get wrapped up in the story, and I get lost in the narrative. And I don't even think about, you know, any wonky special effects there might be in a particular episode. My imagination kind of fills in the gaps because the story is so strong and the characterization is so good. And a lot of the times the performances are so good. So, and you know, those old shows get a bad rap, sadly, because, oh, it's old. Oh, it's black and white. Oh, it's, you know, it's whatever. The fact that it's in black and white has nothing to do with how good it is. And there's plenty of people who are fine watching the black and white stories, and I'm one of them. They recently colorized the Daleks, or bits of the Daleks, and I reviewed that not too long ago. And, you know, it was... There were good things about it, and there were bad things about it. And the fact that they hacked it down to 75 minutes obviously wasn't a good thing. They think it is because they think that, you know, a modern audience is not going to be able to sit through 7 episodes. I think that's ridiculous. it's good storytelling. And I think the 7 episodes works so much better than the 75-minute cut-down, colorized version. So, but that's, you know, that's just my opinion. But I think it was a tragedy that if they were going to colorize the Daleks, they should have colorized every moment of it, not just let's hack it down to 75 minutes and we'll colorize this bit and put it out, and people will, you know, they'll be much happier with it. That's silly. That's ridiculous. But that's what we're dealing with the modern BBC. That's what we're dealing with. And that only scratches the surface. And I'm not going to get into all the politics and everything else involved with modern Who and modern BBC. But the one thing the BBC are that they've always been is short-sighted. They do not appreciate what they have when they have it. You know, they didn't appreciate 60s Doctor Who because it's in black and white and whatever, and nobody will care about it, so we'll destroy them. Thankfully, we had Ian Levine to step in and save our precious 60s Who, because, like I said, without him, we probably wouldn't have much. There would be very little, if any. And so, Ian, if you're listening to this, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I think I speak on behalf of most fans when I say how grateful I am and we are for the fact that you've championed Doctor Who. You've championed the history of the show. And you're doing it all over again by having a team come together and recreate the lost episodes with the help of AI. And I say with the help of, because, again, unlike what some people seem to think, it's not a matter of, you know, putting the scripts in a computer and AI just runs with it. I know there's a lot of work that goes into that, and it's not cheap work either. It's expensive. Ian has told me how expensive it is to do one episode alone, and he's trying to recreate, you know, all 97 missing episodes, and I can't even imagine the amount of work and the amount of money that's going to take. And so that's pretty much what this is about today. As if you haven't seen Ian's AI reconstructions of any of, you know, the episodes that he's released so far, you know, if you go to Facebook and go to his fan group, and I'll link it in the description, you'll have the opportunity to see these episodes. And that's the only way you're going to get an opportunity to see these episodes, if you're joined up on his Facebook group. And I beg anybody who does go to that group to not go there to give the man a hard time. Don't go there and you know, with the idea that you're going to troll people and argue, and that's not going to be tolerated. It's a positive place, and it's a wonderful place. And I've had some wonderful conversations there with fans. And the whole point is for us to get together and celebrate the history of Doctor Who. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But if you go there, you can see those episodes. But, you know, it's not just a free ride. Like I said, there's a lot going into the creation or the recreation of these missing episodes, AI or not. It's still very time consuming. It's taking a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of thought, a lot of intelligent thought, and a lot of money. And Ian has foot the bill for, you know, most of it. A few of us have donated to the cause, but so few have not and are not. And so, financially, it's got to be a great strain on Ian to be making this effort. He's making this effort on behalf of fandom. He's making this effort on behalf of the cultural history of the series. And he's doing a great thing. He's doing an amazing thing. It's not for everybody. AI reconstructions are not for everybody. There's some people that have looked at it and said, that's not for me. And that's fine. That's fine. If it's not for you, it's not for you. It's just the same way with the animations. The animations aren't for everybody. And, you know, I've had so many people tell me, well, I'd rather watch, you know, the loose cannon reconstructions with the telesnaps. That does it for me. If that does it for you, fine. That's never quite done it for me, just watching a slideshow with the soundtrack. That's never quite, there's certain stories that it's hard to get into that way. So that's never quite worked for me. So when the animations came along, I was like, yeah, this is it. So I personally love most of the animations. I think it's a wonderful effort, but you know, it's hit and miss, especially these days when they're not so much trying to recreate them as they were seen. They're taking more and more license with it. And I think license is okay in that medium to a point. But after a point, you cross the line. And, I've mentioned, you know, like Padmasambhava and so forth, that was crossing a line. Those things were crossing a line. I think it was, you know, a step too far. So a lot of the animations that have come out in the last couple of years have suffered for that philosophy of we've got to recreate it rather than we've got to reimagine it rather than we've got to recreate it as it was. That's what I'm trying to say. So that, I think, is a mistaken philosophy of we've got to reimagine it for a modern audience. A modern audience doesn't necessarily care about classic Who or 60s Who. And a lot of these kids that they're trying to appeal to, the, you know, 13 to 25s or whatever, that this imaginary audience that they think is out there and it's craving this stuff, but the BBC's idea of they won't watch it unless it mirrors today's, you know, modern day television. And that's baloney. It's good storytelling, and good storytelling will always win out. You know, there's nothing wrong with classic Doctor Who. There's nothing wrong with 60s Doctor Who. It drew me in at a very young age, and TV had moved on by that time. You know, when I was in my early teens and so forth, back in the late 70s and early 80s, TV had moved on. And me being in America, it definitely had moved on. And didn't resemble anything like 1960s Doctor Who. But the stories pulled me in. When I first saw the Hartnell era, started seeing some episodes from the Hartnell era, I was blown away because it was just like, wow, the storytelling, wow, the imagination. You know, the effects might be a little, but for the time, you know, I was able to put myself into that zone of, okay, I'm going to look at this as a kid that was in the 60s, and it just blew me away. It absolutely blew me away. So I'd seen, you know, all the modern Doctor Who's, and I'd seen, you know, modern shows like Star Trek and so forth, but the 60s Doctor Who really fired my imagination. So if it could do that for me, a kid of the 70s and 80s, it can do that for these kids of, you know, the 2020s. There's absolutely no there's no basis behind this idea that modern kids will not get it. That's crazy. That's ludicrous. Of course they'll get it. If they're drawn in by the story as we were, and they will be, if they sit down and actually watch it, they'll be as drawn in as we were and as those kids were in the 60s seeing it as it went out. So that's just woolly thinking. It's ridiculous. So the BBC have the wrong idea, and the BBC haven't twigged yet on this AI thing. And I'm sure they wish Ian wouldn't be doing this, because he's showing them up. He's absolutely showing them up. Because his AI constructions are making their animation, their cartoons, look like cartoons, like ridiculous. In comparison. Like I said, I appreciate the animations for what they are, especially earlier on when they were first doing them and trying to be faithful to recreating what was. But for some reason, the philosophy changed along the way for the BBC, and they decided that, no, we shouldn't be recreating, you know, reconstructing the past, but we should be reimagining the past. And that's the wrong approach. And it's being proven, because so many people have got on board with Ian's AI reconstructions and are getting so excited. I mean, I'm more excited for the next AI reconstruction from Ian Levine than I am for any of the new episodes of the new series on Disney Plus. You know, for me, if I had to make a choice between, you know, Disney's season one with Shruti Gatwa and Ian's AI reconstructions, well, I'm going to go with the AI reconstructions every time. I'm much more excited to see these missing episodes being brought back to life than I am for anything that Russell T. Davies and crew are doing. It's not a knock on anybody who enjoys what's going on in the new series. It's not a knock on the new series. It's just the storytelling from the 60s was so much more enthralling than anything they're doing these days in modern television. And what Ian is doing with these AI reconstructions is miles above what we're seeing on on modern television. So what the BBC are doing and what Ian is doing, it's worlds apart. Worlds apart. And Ian's winning. So, yeah, I've got news for you, BBC. Ian Levine is winning. And he's winning the hearts and minds of Doctor Who fans, old and young. Absolutely. Through all ages. People are seeing this stuff and they're really appreciating what's going on. But to get back to the point I was trying to make, it's not only a time-consuming effort, it's not only, you know, an effort of skill, it's an effort of the financial burden that is on Ian Levine to recreate these lost masterpieces. So we need, as a fandom, to step up and do our part. You know, it's easy to sit back and enjoy this stuff and take the free ride, but let's be honest. If the BBC were doing this, or they were funding Ian to do this, and they were releasing them on DVD and Blu-ray, wouldn't you be you know, digging into your pocket and paying to see these things? I know I would be. So think about that. How much would that be per story if they released each one on, you know, a Blu-ray set? You'd be paying what, 20, 30 pounds in Britain, roughly about 25 to 30 bucks here in the U.S. And you'd be happily, you know, you'd happily be doing that. It costs considerably more than that to create these things. But you would, you know, you'd be paying an average of about 20 or 30 pounds per release, per story. So right now we're just consuming them. They're being released. Ian's not charging any money for this. He couldn't and he wouldn't charge any money for this. But if the BBC were releasing them, oh, they'd be charging money for this, and you'd happily pay it. So, to me, the logical thing is we should be contributing to the cause. It's sort of a crowdfund me kind of, you know, GoFundMe crowdfunding sort of situation. Ian has asked for donations from fans, and some people have interpreted that as, you know, Ian just wants money or whatever. Ian's, you know, not being fair. Well, I think he's being very fair in asking the fandom to help him out, to help him, you know, foot the bill for doing something that is historical. It's a historical event in Doctor Who, because we're getting these missing episodes back, as you know, essentially that's what's happening. It's almost like they're being found, you know, they're being reconstructed, but we're getting to see them, really see them in great detail for the first time. And it's, you know, it's coming to life. If you watch the Daleks Master Plan, it's coming to life. It's almost as if you were, you took a TARDIS back to 1960, whatever, and you're watching these episodes as they go out. It's almost like that. It's, you know, it's one tiny step away from that. So it's amazing. It's incredible. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. And it fills me with such joy. And I'm now seeing things in these episodes. I've heard the soundtracks. I've seen the telesnaps. But I'm seeing things in these AI reconstructions that I never saw before. And I'm looking at these stories in a completely new way. And it's like getting them for the first time all over again. So as a fandom, I think we should be supporting this, not just watching it and praising Ian. That's wonderful. And I'm sure Ian will take all that praise that he can get. But at the end of the day, praise isn't funding this. Praise isn't making this happen. And if we didn't have Ian Levine, who else would be doing this? You know, a few fans might be doing a bit here and there. We've seen some clips that fans have done of various stories, but Ian is the only one that stepped up and recreating entire episodes and ultimately entire stories as, you know, as time goes by. So we're going to eventually get to see, you know, all these stories. Won't it be wonderful to watch Doctor Who from the beginning to the end of the 60s with no gaps? Won't that be just amazing? I can't wait for that day, but it's not going to come. If Ian runs out of money, it's not going to happen. It'll never be a completed project. And we'll again, still have gaps in the archives of Doctor Who. So whether the BBC are on board or not is irrelevant to me. I think it's irrelevant to the whole cause. It'd be nice if they got on board and put them out on the Blu-ray box sets and so forth. That'd be wonderful. Hopefully they'll see the light at some point and accept them and take them and use them. It may happen. It may not. Ian says that'll never happen. So I take his word for it. BBC, again, short-sighted as always. Short-sighted, unappreciative. I could go on and on about that, but I'm not here to get on, you know, to talk about the political side of things. But the BBC, they can do whatever they want. But the truth of the matter is, the most exciting things happening in Doctor Who right now are because of Ian Levine. What Ian is doing with these AI constructions is more exciting than, you know, 100 new episodes with Shuri Gatwa. So, yeah, it's incredible work, and it needs to be supported. So I'm going to have some links in the description and so forth of this and on my socials to where you can help out as a fan. If you want to donate to this cause and crowdfund these episodes and get them recreated properly so that we can see them as they should be seen rather than some reimagination of it that the BBC are doing, they're going to continue to reimagine the lost episodes. So the ones that they still haven't done, they're not going, they might do them all, I don't know. They may or may not. But they're going to reimagine them, and what you're going to see from the BBC is not what kids saw in the 60s. It's not what audiences saw in the 60s. So if you want to see 60s Doctor Who recreated faithfully, this is the only way you're going to get it, through what Ian is doing, his amazing effort. And again, not only does the man deserve the praise and the applause, he deserves some help. So, you know, fans crowdfund a lot of things. Look at Mystery Science Theater 3000. They make new episodes of that because the fandom is crowdfunding it. And without that, no TV network is picking it up. No TV network is making new MSTs. But the fans are. And I know Doctor Who fans are much more passionate and in greater numbers than Mystery Science Theater fans. So if they can do it, and you know, other IPs can do it, Doctor Who certainly can do it. Doctor Who fans can get behind this project and push it forward. Imagine if Ian had more money to work with and how much more time and effort they could put into these to make them even more perfect. So think about that. You can help this man in his effort to recreate those amazing 97 missing episodes. I want to see every minute of those 97 missing episodes, and I want to see them recreated faithfully. And that's what Ian is attempting to do. But again, he needs your help. He's not taking people's money and you know, going out and drinking champagne and having parties. He's putting every penny that he gets, every penny that he has, into this effort to recreate something historical, something that we all love, something that enhances our lives. Honestly, Doctor Who, especially the classic era of Doctor Who, has enhanced my life more than I can say. It's done more for me than any modern show could possibly do. So what joy it brings, and what joy it is bringing me alone to see these episodes reconstructed. And I know everyone listening who has seen these episodes so far would agree with me on that. But don't you agree that we should be helping? We should be helping. We should be making that effort. A handful of fans sending in 10, 20 pounds every now and again is only doing so much. You know, it's a drop in the bucket. Ian is ever so grateful for that. Don't get me wrong. He's happy with any help that he gets. But it's just not enough. More of us need to be doing it. You know, he's not asking for, you know, everybody to donate $1 million. You can donate whatever whatever you have spare, whatever you feel, you know, you can. But if enough fans do that, if enough fans support this, then, you know, Ian will have much more, you know, many more bullets in his arsenal. He'll be able to do a lot more. The more we help, the more he can do. The more we help, the better he can do. Money is a tool, and he needs tools in the toolbox to recreate these amazing stories. And we want them recreated, don't we? We really, me speaking for all of you, I think we do. I certainly want to see them all recreated, and I'm helping in the effort. I'm proud to say I'm helping in the effort, and I've donated to Ian as often as I can, as much as I have been able to for the past more than a year. I've been supporting this effort of his recreations, and very proud to be a part of it in that small way. I don't have the skill to do what they're doing with the AI and stuff and the animation. I don't have that skill, but what I do have is a passion for it, just like Ian does, and a desire for it, just like so many fans. And so I help where I can. And there are those of you out there that I know probably would help too. And maybe you just haven't even thought about it. But now's the time to think about it. Now's the time to step up and make the effort to help Ian in this amazing historical effort to recreate faithfully these missing episodes so that we can finally see classic 60s Doctor Who in its entirety. We have that opportunity now. But the opportunity we need to take is to support the man, to help him, not just in praise, not just in thanking him, not just in gratitude. All that's wonderful. But we need to step up and help him financially to do this. Because, again, whatever you donate is going into making these things happen and making them better and better. So if you've got a few bucks or a few quid, whatever you want to, you know, whatever it is, whatever your currency is, wherever you are, you can send it through PayPal. You can send it to Ian. You can send it to my PayPal. I'm going to link this stuff, like I said, in description, in the description and so forth. And you can send it to either one of us. And it's going to that cause. It's going directly into these recreations and nothing else. It's absolutely not going for anything else. This is not a gimmick. It's not, you know, it's not a scam. And nobody's going to get rich off of this. And it's not an effort to get rich. It's an effort to enrich. It's to bring something back to the culture, to bring culturally important and historical material back to life. And that's what Ian is doing. So in order to make that happen, yes, he needs funding. And that's what I'm asking for, is for you to help Ian in his effort. So help him fund it a little bit. If you don't want to, that's fine. If you can't, that's fine. But for those who can, and you would like to be a part of this historical event that's happening, these recreations, faithful recreations of these lost masterpieces, then, yeah, give what you can. Just give what you can. If it's a few dollars, fine. If it's more, great. The more you can give, the better it's going to help, you know, but the more people who give, the better it's going to help. So as many of you as are able and willing, please step up to the plate and donate to the cause. And I guarantee you will be grateful for helping out. You will be honored to have helped out. And you're going to benefit by seeing these things come to life. and finally be able to watch these missing episodes as they were meant to be seen, or at least as close as possible. Don't be afraid of AI. This is not coming to destroy you. This is just trying to restore something historical, culturally important, and fun. Something that's just fun. Something that gives us joy. And what gives us more joy than Doctor Who? Help if you can. Again, look in the descriptions wherever you found this. And you can even come to my website, dreamrealmsite.com, on the QWHO page. And that stuff's going to be linked there as well. So wherever you get this, whether it's a podcast feed or you go to my website or you're on YouTube, whatever, wherever you're hearing this, hearing me, you're going to find the links to where you can donate and help out, and you can, and you'll find the links to Ian's Facebook group where you can go and experience these amazing episodes as they're released. It's a wonderful event. It's a historical event in the history of Doctor Who. And Ian is outdoing the BBC. Ian's winning. he's already won the race, basically. Just for what he's done already, he's already won the race. He's already got people more excited for what he's doing than, you know, what the BBC and Disney Plus are releasing. So helping that cause if you can. And thank you for listening, and thank you for considering it. And thank you, Ian, for everything you've done for Doctor Who over the years. Thank you for saving 60s Doctor Who for us. If it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't even know what I was missing. I wouldn't even know how wonderful it is. So thanks to you, I've been able to experience a lot of it, and it's changed my life. So thank you, Ian. I can't thank you enough. I can't praise you enough. You're an amazing man. You're an amazing person. You're an amazing fan. You're amazing soul for doing what you're doing, and for taking so much guff over the years, so much BS from people, undeserved. I know you've rubbed a lot of people in the wrong way because you're outspoken and because of your passion and because you want things to be right. You want things to be perfect. And that rubs some people the wrong way. It's too bad for them, you know. The joke's on them. The joke's on the BBC because you are winning. You're doing the right thing. And the fans, you know, the worm has turned. Everybody's looking at you now and going, this man is really doing something for Doctor Who. What are the BBC doing? But, you know, they're just trying to make money off of it, and they're trying to recreate, you know, reimagine stuff for an imaginary audience that doesn't exist and doesn't care. They're doing it all wrong. Ian, you're doing it all right, and we appreciate that. Believe me. I appreciate it for sure. And I know there's a lot more fans out there who do. And there's probably quite a lot of fans out there who used to hear the name Ian Levine and go, who probably now go, wow, that man is amazing. Look at what he's doing. So the worm has turned. The tide has turned in your direction. And this is your time. And it's your time to shine, and you are shining so bright. I love you to death. I wish I knew you better than I do, but what I've come to know, I love. You're an incredible human being, better than most, and this effort is an amazing effort. It's a historical effort. I mean, words really don't even describe how much I appreciate the work that you've put in to Doctor Who from day one, and for everything that you've done for Doctor Who and for the fandom and for history. I'm so grateful. It touches my heart and my soul, and thank you, Ian. Thank you, Ian Levine. Thank you for being you, and thank you for all that you do. So the rest of us need to join in and thank Ian, and support what he's doing, because he's doing the right thing. He's doing a wonderful thing, and he just needs our help. He just needs a little bit of help, and we can provide it. So join me in providing that help, if you can. If you can and you're willing, then step up to the plate and do it. So thank you, folks. Thanks for listening, as I said. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for considering helping. If you haven't seen what Ian's done so far, go and join the group. Take a look at the effort that's been made, especially on Dalek's Master Plan, and see what amazing work is being done, and then think, wow, I want to see more, so I better help. And help out. You know, donate to the cause. Because it's a good cause. It's a good cause. You won't regret it. You won't regret it. So that's all I have to say. Hopefully my plea helps Ian's effort. And hopefully it gets him a little more support, a little more help from us, the fandom. Because we owe him so much. So for all that he's done, we owe him something. We definitely need to help him out. We definitely need to be on his side and help him out. So those that can, please do. And thank you so much. Until next time, you guys know the drill. Please stay tuned.
You have been listening to a fan production for Dream Realm Enterprises. This is a not-for-profit program.